fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. I'm in the studio here with volunteers from the Columbus Community Bill of Rights. Sandy Bolzinius, Charlotte Owens, Bill Lyons. What the hell is the Columbus Community Bill of Rights?
Well, we are trying to get a city ordinance on the ballot for this November to protect our air, water, and soil from fracking waste and oil and gas extraction activities. And currently, that right was taken away in 2004, the home rule right, by our state legislature, and we want it back because we feel democracy entails that we have the self-governing right to make decisions about whether we want harmful waste in our communities or not.
Who could be opposed to pure water, clean air, safe soil, other than often incredibly greedy corporations, legal fictions that believe they have a right, but historically, haven't the people have a right to zone their environments and breathe clean air and drink pure water?
Historically, not even that long ago, in 2004, prior to 2004, we did have that right.
This century.
Mm-hmm. This century,
not that long ago. And then I don't think it's who opposes it, but what opposes it. And that is these entities who are making a lot of money through the gas and oil that they can frack from Ohio lands.
Mm-hmm. So what's your argument? Why do we need this community bill of rights that you're petitioning for?
Yeah, well, currently a lot of people may not be aware that we have injection wells in our watershed area, the Upper Scioto watershed area, 13 of them, and there's four more permits granted. There might be four more of these things. Each one of them has about tens of millions of gallons of this frack waste, and there's up to 700 different chemicals. Many of them are carcinogenic, hormone disruptors, and neurotoxins, and a lot of them, we don't even know what the chemicals are because of industry is allowed to keep certain things proprietary.
And isn't there radioactivity?
Yes.
Or radioactive materials?
That's another thing. When they drill down that far and when they flush the water, under high pressure to break the shell to get oil and gas, there's naturally occurring radioactivity. Radium-226 is one of those things. Half-life is 1,600 years. And in addition to the liquid waste that's already in our watershed, the solid waste, which is also radioactive, but they're not regulating it, they're dumping it in landfills throughout the state. So we're trying to keep this out of Columbus, at least.
All right, and how are you doing that, Sandy? What have you been up to as a volunteer?
Actually, all of us are volunteers. We have a small group that's growing larger every day, especially in our last few months where we're trying to get enough signatures. We need 9,000 signatures to get this on the ballot, and that's where our focus is. Mm-hmm. We go to every place that we possibly can. I'm pretty sure that a lot of your listeners are going to know about the Columbus Community Bill of Rights. We have a very distinctive, and we wear our little uniform, very distinctive
logo
with a sun, yellow sun, and that's what we're doing. We're going out all the time as much as we can to try to get signatures. We're all volunteers. None of us are getting paid. And this is because our concern is about our air, water, and soil in Columbus, in central Ohio, in fact.
Let me just add one thing. That's 9,000 valid signatures. Mm-hmm. So we can't just stop at 9,000.
We need probably at least twice that.
Yes. Right. We're over 9,000, but we know that's not going to be enough when they validate them there. So it's hard work, but some people will just sign, but we need more people to help us. This is our third campaign. We have come within 1,000 valid signatures, our first two, and we want to make third time a charm so that this is it.
Now, is it true that certain wastewaters that aren't allowed in Pennsylvania and West Virginia are brought into Columbus, the waste dump of it all?
The toilet bowl of the fracking industry. Yes, that's here, Ohio. And a lot of people in Columbus aren't too concerned about fracking because it happens elsewhere, outside of Columbus. We don't have to worry about it here. And that's the big concern in Columbus, is that we are getting this waste, including not just Ohio waste, but waste from elsewhere, other states. So it's going into our watershed, 13 injection wells in our watershed area. These things, they will not last. They do leak all around the world. It's going to happen here, too, sometime.
So radioactive, toxic waste being injected mm-hmm. into the wells. But aren't they safe? Didn't they build brand new state-of-the-art?
No.
I mean, that's what I would do. if it was radioactive.
You would think so.
Aren't these state-of-the-art injection wells that will contain this toxic mess?
Here's what they are. Many of them, they're repurposed, oil and gas wells. Some of them are more than 60 years old. They weren't made for this purpose. They're class 2 injection wells.
So someone was drilling some oil or injecting some garbage 60 years ago, and they're going, hey, let's open this one up. It's only been closed for 60 years.
And here's another thing. Most people think these wells are totally encased. Well, they just drill down to the sandstone layer about 4,000 feet, or depending on where they're located, sometimes they can be twice that. And they just assume that it's just going to be absorbed by the sandstone layer. But obviously, they don't know if it can get into our aquifers, and certainly there are many examples that it does.
And again, a lot of the fracking activity itself goes under rivers, under lakes. And again, we know it has caused earthquakes. Is that not true?
That's totally true. And another thing I want to mention as far as radioactivity, it's not only radioactive, it's toxic, as you've mentioned. It's toxic because there's 700-plus type chemicals that go into the water. So the industry is taking fresh water, millions of gallons of fresh water, and putting it and injecting these chemicals into it, 700-plus. Then it goes into the earth, hits the shale, comes out, and now it's radioactive. And that's what's going into our watershed area. But again, the industry says, don't worry about it at all. It'll never leak into our watershed. I'm just not sure we can count on that forever.
I'm sure that the people in Flint, Michigan were told to trust them, and look what happened there. But one other thing, Bob, that they call this waste, you see the trucks, a lot of them in Southeast Ohio. I was on a fracking tour with Dennis Kucinich in March, and you see many, many trucks of this, what they call brine. Well, certainly it's very, very salty because these are old seabeds, but they make it sound like it's just salt water, and there's many heavy metals in this stuff.
Sure, yeah, I've heard them referred to. We're just bringing in some brine with 700 toxic chemicals and some radioactivity.
Yeah.
I remember when I was looking into it a while back, we talked about it on the show, they were using the wrong type of detectors for radiation, right? Mm-hmm. They were looking for gamma instead of the off-gassing of radium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. One of our other members knows more about the science of it, but we have a soil scientist, Dr. Julie Weatherton Rice, who can testify about that regularly, who says that they are using the wrong criteria, so they don't nearly detect the amount of radium that's in this waste, in the liquid and solid.
They're whipping out a Geiger counter and going, hey, it's not going off, when they should be doing this 21-day off-gassing test for radiation. So everyone in Ohio virtually has to have a radon gas detector in the basement because of this radium. And here they're digging it up and forcing it up. And again, the amount of water they use, you hear these astronomical numbers, like 3 to 18 million gallons or more.
Right. Yeah, the average to frack one well currently, and it's going up every year, is 11 million gallons. That's
the
average.
So I remember when it was just 3 million in the good old days. Yeah.
Only 3 million, okay.
Yeah. And there's even one well that they've used more than 80 million gallons to frack that well, because they not only drill down vertically thousands of feet, but then they drill several miles horizontally, sometimes up to 5 or more miles.
Yeah, because this isn't the famed light, sweet, crude, mm-hmm. where you go down straight and a geyser bursts out. This is like dirty, filthy. We've been down here, we're down 4,000 feet. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not coming up easy. You're going to have to blast us out because we're filthy, the last, you know, remnants of the worst sort of gas and oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when our state authorities tell us how safe and clean this natural gas is, we really need to consider the hidden costs, the hidden issues involved. And there's nothing clean about it. One of our members is also a retired science teacher, and her concern that she was talking about one time, and she said, but wait a minute, what about all this water? It's being taken out of our water cycle forever. Or maybe just 16,000 years or something like that.
Give or take 1,600 or so, yeah. But again, when we're looking at this stuff, it poses such a threat. But the Health Department of Ohio actually issued some warnings on it because of the levels of radiation, and the Ohio, the Environmental Protection Agency did some modest work. So we turned it over to the Department of Natural Resources. Now, to be fair, those people, you know, are really good at the enforcement of deer tagging. All mad props to these guys. Someone takes a deer, poaches it. These guys are professional. Mm. Why shouldn't they be in charge of of controlling health and the gas and oil industry?
Well, they're certainly not experts on this technology and the kind of waste. And in fact, the head of the ODNR has come from the oil and gas industry.
Oh, so but what if a deer fell in a fracking hole in the woods? Okay.
What we would like to see is local rights. And if everybody in Columbus is okay with having fracking around in whatever capacity, then I guess we'll have to go with that. But right now, that is not what most of Columbusites want.
I say we start first fracking in New Albany.
Yeah.
Followed by Muirfield. Mm-hmm. And see how it goes.
Right, right. These representatives who are all for it, I'm sure they're not anywhere near an injection well or where they're actually fracking. You know, so if they were, I'm sure they'd have a different feeling about it.
And that's what's interesting about being on the street and asking people to sign a petition. Sometimes you just have to say it's about fracking, and they grab your petition and they sign it. But oftentimes they'll ask questions about it, and we tell them what it's about, and most people are totally opposed to fracking.
Mm-hmm. And many of them say, no fracking way.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, a lot of them would maybe ask, well, what's Columbus have to worry about it? And then we can show them the map on the back of our card that shows where those injection wells are. Yeah.
You do have a map on the back of the card.
Yeah.
And it is not pretty. It indicates all sorts of activity.
Many red dots.
In our area. So, a variety of things we have to worry about. Are these wells going to leak?
Well, I think there's been a study by, was it ProPublica, that says that most wells over a 5-year period are showing leaking. And then the whole fracking industry, when they say that natural gas is a bridge fuel, well, they're producing to export it to Europe, as well as the methane is another issue about the benefit is out. You know, there is leaking lots of methane.
This is WGRN, the Green Renaissance, 94.1. I'm in the studio with volunteers from the Columbus Community Bill of Rights. Sandy Bozinius, Charlotte Owens, Bill Lyons, and they're very active. And they need signatures. And they need you to stand with them to preserve the rights of nature. What were you saying about nature having rights, Charlotte?
That's a key part of our petition, is that we are saying that, yes, nature has rights. We also are asserting our rights, our inalienable rights to pure air, clean water, safe soil, and our right to protect it. We are claiming we don't have a right to destroy natural communities, that natural communities have rights. Also that we have a right to a sustainable energy future. We have a right to be free from toxic trespass, as well as having the right to drinkable water.
I like that, toxic trespass. Because, if any of us went out and dumped poison into our neighbor's pool or poisoned their well, that's criminal. We would be charged. But in essence, isn't that what's happening here?
Yes, that's what's happening, and we weren't given the choice on it. I talk about the analogy that if somebody came to you in your own backyard and said, we want to put some toxic waste in there, and you don't have a choice in it, we would say there's something wrong with this. Well, that's basically what's happening to our communities right now. But we feel like we have that self-governing right to decide whether we want to take that risk or not. And we, in our petition, we have quoted from the Constitution that one of the things that reinforces it, we think we have that right, that all men are by nature free and independent and have certain inalienable rights. Among those are enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and seeking and obtaining happiness and safety. And even in the Ohio Constitution, it says that, you know, all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their equal protection and benefit, and they have the right to alter, reform, or abolish the same whenever they deem it necessary. And no special privileges or immunities shall be granted that may not be altered, revoked, or repealed by the General Assembly.
So there does seem to be special immunities and special rights granted to these often legal fictions, these corporations, to come into a community and really treat it like it's a toxic waste dump. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and in the history, before the industrial age, it was a crime, or it would not be allowed for you to go and pollute somebody else's air, water, and soil. And now, and that has really shifted with the industrial age. And so now corporations will have a right to pollute air, water, and soil, even when we regulate up to certain regulations. Why in the world do other legal fictions, as you say, have a right to pollute to any level our air, water, and soil?
Mm-hmm. And again, we call them legal fictions because on the first day of law school, they always say, what is a corporation? And the answer is a legal fiction.
You mean it's not a person?
Well, one of the arguments, there's natural-born persons, and then there's unnatural-born persons.
How is it the unnatural-born persons have more rights than the born natural-born persons?
And I always like to say, when there's no more room in hell, the unnatural persons shall roam the earth. And it's our job to send them back from whence they came.
Yeah, we don't like to use the word corporate rights. We say they're corporate privileges that they've been granted. And the fact that we think that the right of ours, natural-born persons, to clean air, water, and soil should supersede their rights to make a profit by polluting our communities.
And one of the things Ohio is well-known for, notorious, is it's alone in not regulating frack waste drill cuttings. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, isn't our government claiming there's useful purposes for it, which saves the radioactive polluters money?
Well, it certainly saves the money there, but here's another thing that they're using some of the fracking waste for. The liquid waste, which, I mentioned they call it brine as if it's just salt water, they have a bill to commodify it and sell it as a quantity, and currently there's
You can never get enough toxic brine.
And they've got, also they're using it on the interstate highways, the toll roads, to desalt some of the roads. And you know, there's toxic metals in this stuff already.
When you were talking about the cuttings, apparently Ohio is the only state or wherever that allows mixing of natural and the T-norm radioactive cuttings to dilute them. And as you were already mentioning, how there are not, you know, the legislature legislated, but there are not valid tests. And so the tests that are being used, whether at gateways or whatever, are drastically way too insensitive and drastically underestimating the amount of radioactivity in a sample. And so this was from Pennsylvania when they were... So actually, I think Julie Wetherington Rice recommended West Virginia not even put them up because they were like just false security.
So a little false security, and my understanding is by declaring it useful, I talked to Julie Wetherington Rice on that, it saves some money from actually taking it away and putting it in a toxic waste site.
Oh, it's, absolutely. It's about saving money, definitely. Yeah, any way they can.
Well, let's use it to keep the dust down on the nothing like a little toxic brine to keep the dust down.
Yeah. Plus, when you don't test, that's when you're talking about the cuttings, when you don't test, then you can assume they're not radioactive, and so then they can go into regular landfills where they should be going into a low-level radioactive waste site, which would be much more expensive, which, of course,
they don't want to do. Yeah. One other thing, Bob, that I wanted to mention is that we are part of what's called the community rights movement. And it's not just Columbus doing this. There's many other communities that are passing community bills of rights. In Ohio, we have Athens, Broadview Heights, Oberlin, and let's see, Yellow Springs, and Waterfield, I think, was the other ones.
Well, we got the last 2 minutes to go. Tell our listeners how they can find out information, what they can do to get involved.
Okay, we have, first of all, we need signatures. Some people have signed in the past, but we started again after ComFest last summer, so if you haven't signed. But most importantly, we need volunteers, and we need people to help us petition. So we're going to be at the Asian Festival. We're going to be at Wylands Market this Friday and Saturday, and in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be at the Columbus Arts Festival. And ComFest is our last big festival. So even if you're able to collect a few signatures, and we've got a meeting on May 21st at Whetstone Library, 7:30 to 9 on Monday.
www.columbusbillofrights.org. Check it out. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.